Thank you very much, Ulrike. And I'll just actually start before I get into the what next to really pause and take a moment to do acknowledge the unbelievable work of the LGBT intergroup over the past 5 years. I mean, we know from experience and from our daily work how much you do, but how Bruno put it there just made it very real how much was accomplished. And actually looking at the title of today, I was looking at successes, failures, and challenges, and whilst there is many failures we would name for the EU institutions, I couldn't come up with one single failure from the European Parliament as far as we're concerned. There are certainly challenges, but the image of the train is very real. The European Parliament, led by the LGBT intergroup, has allowed so much. The intergroup has enabled and forced the Parliament to be a driver for concrete progress, whether it's all of the legal changes that were made. Also, just mainstreaming, again, it was something that was very clear for us, but you've made it very visible. And the visibility that has been achieved over the past 5 years is something that has enabled then us, civil society organizations, so much more to do our work. And I think it's important to single out as well that the LGBT intergroup, one of its strength, I think, has been to, and it's part of the mainstreaming approach, but it has been to strengthen LGBT-specific measures where it was needed and possible, but it has also been by strengthening any human rights mechanisms where it was possible for the EU, because it goes back to the debate we were having around engagement in foreign, in third countries, is where you have strong civil society, where there's a place for civil society to be present and active and to have its voices heard, and where human rights are enforced. This is already creating a context where LGBTI rights are possible to progress. And so I think those are important things to mention, because those are certainly something key to the approach that we would hope the next intergroup to take. I could go into details point by point in terms of what ILGA Europe has named as the next 10 challenges for the EU institutions and for the European Parliament, as we have put them in our election pledge. But I think you can all go and have a look. It's on our website, and I have a few copies here. But I choose to just group them into four themes that I think are absolutely crucial for the next 5 years. The first one would be leadership and visibility. And here I would actually like to single out leadership and visibility for LGBTI rights in internal EU policies. It's absolutely fantastic to see that some of the progress and some of the advances that have been made in external policy over the last 5 years, but you would notice that most of the greater achievements have to do with EU foreign policy, or dealing with asylum seekers in the EU, or a lot of it is external to the EU borders. But where it has been extremely challenging to make progress is where it concerns the situation, the human rights situation of LGBTI people within the EU. And this is absolutely clear. It starts with what we have been calling for and what Ulrike's report is calling for, which is a clear strategy. We're not deluding ourselves. We don't think the strategy in and of itself is going to solve all of the problems. But it is a crucial element of embedding it, embedding the commitment in a clear, visible, measurable strategy that will tell us and tell everyone in the EU this is serious. And it goes back to the message that Michael was making about external policy as well. It's the message has to be there. We're not doubting that a lot has happened, but a lot of things have happened invisibly or behind the scenes, and it is about naming it and just standing up for having to do more work where it concerns the human rights situation of LGBTI people within the EU. And I think the progress that the work that's been done, whether it's the European Parliament or the Fundamental Rights Agency or civil society and many member states over the past 5 years, just make it very clear that more needs to happen with a clear political commitment. The other element then is about closing the gap, the legal gap in many respects, and that goes back to our beloved anti-discrimination directive. But that is a broader challenge that I think where we need to be investing is also to going back to having this broad-based civil society movement calling for it and bringing the different elements of discrimination and equality together again to be championing it. But it's also about closing the gap when it comes to tackling violence, and so looking at how we can increase legislation, again, on many different grounds, but including the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity. We have a brilliant start with the Victims' Rights Directive, but we need to go to the next level. And there's also a whole element about consolidating the acquis that we have, whether it's the acquis that already dates back from 2000 and making use of the Employment Directive better, or making use of the gender equality so much better than we have made until now when it comes to trans people. But it's also about making sure that that brilliant piece of document that was adopted by the Council, which is the LGBTI guidelines, are really used properly by all of the member states in their foreign policy. So there's a lot of tools to consolidate, use better, look at how we're implementing them, but it's also about closing the legal gap to make sure that the protection is as good and as it needs to be in the EU. The third element I see is that we've started, it's part of the mainstreaming approach, but it's about being proactive. There are lots of areas, and again, that's one of the pieces that is so important about a potential roadmap or future roadmap, is being proactive in areas where the EU doesn't have clear competence to act in terms of taking adopting laws, but there's a lot that can be done in terms of exchanging good practices and learning from each other, especially when you're looking at an area that is still felt, mistakenly, but still felt as being sensitive, like LGBTI. And there's a lot of very concrete, practical, good policies and practices that have been adopted by governments across the EU, and it's not necessarily from the usual suspects. And so much can be improved if we just bring that body of knowledge and experience together, whether it's on education, whether it's on health, whether it's in relation to family rights, and whether it's especially, and I'll name it, but I know my colleague Richard will mention it specifically, but it's crucial when it comes to trans rights. We're only at the beginning. I think one of the achievements over the past 5 years has been able to put trans on the agenda. But now we need to do something about it, really need to do something about it. And it might be about falling outside of the EU competences. So this is where exchanging good practices, bringing member states together to see how they can progress and make real difference in terms of asserting the rights of trans people is absolutely crucial. And the fourth point, and it's probably the most challenging and difficult for all of us, but where I see we will need all of us to put our effort, is on changing hearts and minds and educating people. Because, as Rodrigue was mentioning, what we've seen more and more is about creating misinformation about LGBTI issues, what the LGBTI movement is about, what we're wanting, what we're calling for. And there are so many myths that we need to be debunking and educating and changing and appealing to people's good sense of what it is about and what it is not about. And it's also about creating, I think, a safety about what the issue is about, to make people understand that we're not claiming anything from other people. We're just out there for LGBTI people to be asserting their own rights. It's not about taking away anything from others. It's just about some who haven't been able to be fully themselves to be in a position where they can be that. So I think that's probably going to be the most challenging bit, and which is why, then, to go back to Bruno's appeal, which is very much Ilga Yurif's appeal, because a lot of our work would be so much more difficult if we didn't have the strong intergroup that we have had over the past 5 years. And so it's absolutely crucial that this intergroup gets recreated. But also it's crucial that we move even further beyond making this issue not a partisan issue, but a political issue and the big P issue, and so that it's a cross-party issue. This is not an issue for the left. It's not an issue for the Greens or the Socialists or the Liberals, and not an issue for the EPP. That's not true. That's an issue for everyone. And the next intergroup, I think one of the things that we will want to work towards is that there's an even greater representation across party. And this is where it's linked to education. And I think we'll need to be starting from there as of next summer.